harmonize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating faster. It's getting a little louder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is mere insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslivism.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, wait. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another show of Revising Reality. If I'm going to not be very slick with my words today, but it's another episode, and it's been a long time, so I'm going to bring back Steve, since we had him on the last show. And today we're going to talk about the war in Ukraine and the wider geopolitical inclinations that are going on there behind the scenes. Like a true look, not necessarily like the runaround stories that everybody's been getting all over the place. So, welcome, Steve. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. It's a nice day here in Sydney, Australia.
That's awesome. It's a very cold and snowy day in Pennsylvania. It literally dumped on us last night. We got like 6 inches, and then we snowed another like 4 inches all day. So we have a lot of snow, and it's cold.
Well, it's not too bad here. The sun's out, and it's not too warm, but not at all cold. And I run. I don't know if the audience is aware, probably are by now, but I run a blog called Aussie Thinker. That's OZZIETHINKER.wordpress.com. And the last 5 articles I've written have been themed around, obviously, the coronavirus alleged pandemic, which, of course, I immediately drew conclusions was false. We did a show last time round a week or two back, and we obviously focused on a new angle. a new angle to the whole intrigue by, you know, why coronavirus? What's the motive behind that? If it's not being as presented. And it's interesting when you came to me and said, can we do a talk about Ukraine? Well, in a sense, it's actually the next step in that drama. So I think we discussed last week did we discuss about why, for instance, the United Kingdom amongst a range of European countries without question has removed all mandates and removed for vaccines and for the mask and everything. Did we cover that?
Yes, we did. We covered a lot of that last week.
Okay, good. So I'm just going to do a refresher, just because it's very important to lead in and it'll make Ukraine seem now feasible in terms of what's going on. So in actual fact, what had happened was behind the scenes that a lot of doctors and pharmaceutical companies and then the whole supply chain in between doctors and the manufacturers were being sued. And there weren't just one or two lawsuits. These were literally piling up to tens of thousands of lawsuits that had piled up in the British court system. And included in that process were accusations of murder. Now, under British law, and I'm selecting Britain here because I know Britain, but it happened in Denmark and a range of other countries as well. Under British law, if there's a murder complaint, the police are obliged. They don't have to. It's not we can go and look at it if we want to. They are obliged to investigate it. And apparently there were thousands and thousands of these murder accusations against adverse effects of vaccines that obviously resulted in death of the patient.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's a big lawsuit in International Court of Justice lawsuit, which is being dubbed Nuremberg Mark II, which has not appeared at all in any mainstream media source, which is apparently or purportedly backed by 10,000 doctors, and these are extreme witnesses who have elevated status, such as fellows of the Royal Association of Surgeons and things, and people like that. So these are really top guys, and 1,000 lawyers. And that's being conducted in The Hague. And the papers were served on Bill Gates, on Anthony Fauci, and other key individuals.
Okay.
So you're going to say, well, how does that relate to Ukraine? Well, obviously, what we're seeing is that Boris Johnson, who was the British Prime Minister, decided enough is enough. If any one of these lawsuits actually succeeds, and the chances are, because the data is very compelling for them, that the chances are they will succeed, they're going to be in a world of trouble because they're going to have to think about compensation for all the victims, and there are a lot of them. So how can we get out of this? Well, we'll just ignore the whole coronavirus. We'll just rip the whole thing up and we'll make it not mandatory. And now it's everybody's choice. It's just now freedom of choice. And we gave you advice and there's nothing you can do about it. We just followed the advice and that's it. So we now need another diversion. Where can we turn? We need something just to take the heat. Ah, how about a good old war?
Huh.
I've got an idea. There's this place called Ukraine. And we hated Russia for years. It's a perfect opportunity.
Huh.
Now, obviously, the true reasons are a lot less crass than that. But Ukraine does substitute very nicely. To notice how the press moved to Ukraine very quickly and then dropped everything about coronavirus, or there was the odd tidbit here, but coronavirus is more or less dead everywhere, even in Australia. And we still have it, by the way. We've still got the mandates. We've still got everything. You know, everything's chugging away nicely. Western Australia is actually in production mode. So because they were the last to sort of join the bandwagon on trying to force the mask, et cetera, they're still going through that process at the moment. So it's almost bizarre. It's almost irony in motion. We've got in the UK, they're doing the post-mortem of coronavirus, and the mainstream now, the mainstream doctors are essentially saying, well, it's tantamount to fraud. They're saying, oh, well, we had bad data. The lockdowns, the mandates, the masks, they all failed. The vaccines failed. Everything failed. They're all admitting. Well, this is the mainstream. This is the cream of the cream. These are the old guard. And they're all coming out and exactly saying what the conspiracy theorists were saying, a couple of months before, except the difference is they don't use the fraud word. Mm. They just said we were misguided and, you know, these decisions could have been better and the hospitals were inept and inefficient and ended up, you know. So they're using that sort of vernacular rather than saying we committed fraud. Let's go and hang these bastards up high. They're falling short of actually, oh, we're actually going to do anything about it. No, no, not going to go that far. But in Australia, it's a whole different bowl of cherries because, of course, we're still going through that teething process at the moment. We haven't had the four vaccines here. We've only had two, and there's the experimental third one. It still hasn't quite rolled out yet properly. No, nobody's had a chance to, or not as many people as had a chance to take it. We're still waiting for the fourth one. So we've got a way to go with that. So, of course, they haven't totally suppressed it here. So we've got a fairly balanced, but even in Australia, where you look at the media, there's been a lot of airtime given to Ukraine.
Yeah.
But that really doesn't nail the connection between why Ukraine and why coronavirus and what the connection is, because I haven't actually itemized that. But one of the things we did discuss last week, do you remember the role of Israel last week?
No, I wasn't paying attention to Israel very much.
Well, we you should have been paying attention because it was the most important point I made, and everybody should not just, they should be writing this down now and framing it. Getting one of those gold frames and putting it on the wall. Write this down and frame it and put it on your wall. Everybody. Great. So we can all look at it. So when your guests come in, they go, oh, shit. Bloody hell. and that's the reaction we want, because one of the things we discovered last week when we went through the detail is that when we looked at those patents, and I know I didn't bring up the patents and we haven't looked at the actual detail, but you can do if you like. It's all in patentees, unfortunately. But if you wade through all the text, what you come up with is this, that the vaccines, those wonderful vaccines, aren't vaccines at all. They're just being marketed as vaccines. They're very specific, the patents. The patents clearly lay out they're genetic modification compounds. So nobody has been vaccinated. And that's why the British government decided they didn't work when they did the post-mortem on coronavirus.
Mm.
With all the bullshit in the media of how effective they were, it turns out when they actually did the final figures, it was all bullshit after all.
And they made a lot of money doing it.
They sure did. They sure did. But it gets even funnier. It gets even more fun when you look at the detail of the patents, because it's the first time ever, certainly from my research, that a country has owned all the vaccines. And that country that owns all the vaccines is none other than the State of Israel.
Oh.
So it turns out, and what makes it even more muddy, is you know the Wuhan conspiracies? It turns out they were true. When you look at the patent, all the original pharmacological data was created for sale in Wuhan laboratories, in Wuhan, China region laboratories. That's where Wuhan fits in. Oh, boy. But it gets even better than this, because Israel, the State of Israel, in effect, was running a giant, or is running, a giant pyramid scheme. So Israel, the state, owns all the IP of the vaccines, which aren't vaccines, of course. We now know the genetic modification compounds, and it sells the IP to Pfizer and Gates's foundation to create Moderna and AstraZeneca and whoever else has got enough money to chip in.
Yeah.
And so the way that it structures is Israel sells the IP to the, these are very obviously big corporations in their own right. You know, Pfizer is an absolute mammoth. So Pfizer then can play around with the data. So it's not, you know, it's not structured so you have to, that all the vaccines are the same. No, no, they've got the IP and they can roll that IP out in the way they want. So, of course, they divide it up differently. So the Moderna is different to the Pfizer, which is different to the AstraZeneca. All the ingredients are there, but they're split up differently. So AstraZeneca shot one is not the same as Pfizer shot one. Now, obviously, it's, well, where does this fit in, though, with Ukraine? How on earth does that fit in with Ukraine? You know, we've got Israel, yeah, there's the connection there. We've got this giant pyramid scheme, and you can imagine how much money's made, considering they're intending to vaccinate the entire planet. And when I say vaccinate, genetically modify the entire planet. If there's 7 billion people, and each vaccine apparently was worth $3. Out of the goodness of Gates' heart. So the media said. So $3 times 4, that's $12 a head. So $12 times 7 billion is a lot of dollars.
Yeah. It really is.
It's a lot of dollars. That's assuming that we, it's not a flexi scale, and actually the $3 is a subsidy where the government has chipped in an enormous amount of money in the Western countries to subsidize this poison that they're giving to you. And in actual fact, it's $100 a shot. Which makes more sense. But with subsidy, they get it down to $3. And there's no goodness in their hearts at all. All they've done is they've mopped up whatever little tax dividends there are, and they've pumped it into that. So it's a manipulation of tax dollars, which is the old trick. To pump up the corporate, to pump up corporate greed.
Yeah, I mean, they're really printing a lot of money right now. They printed a whole bunch.
I read last year that the mega rich, the billionaires, made something in the order of, is it 5 trillion?
Yeah, they made profit. An insane amount of money in a very short amount of time when the coronavirus happened. Yeah, and the funny thing is they must have known it was going to happen ahead of time.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have made so much at all. There were the highest numbers of deaths from malnutrition in the world last year.
Of what?
Of malnutrition. So they have no, didn't have enough food. People out there without enough food, they go and die.
Yeah.
So, of course, all these caring people, these people who really care about the fate of those Ukrainians, who they never cared about before, they just cared about it when the MSN went and started trumpeting about Putin. But they didn't give a shit about the Ukrainians before MSN did that. But they don't care about all the people who are dying from starvation and all the super rich who are getting even more super rich. Other than perhaps Bernie Saunders, who did actually, I must admit, did point it out, you know, grudgingly. So we've established, obviously, a link between Israel and the vaccines, a true conspiracy, where we've got vaccines that aren't vaccines at all, that are being foisted on people. They're making a lot of money out of it. There's a lot of dirty politics involved. They're lying to us.
I mean, they do that all the time.
But I haven't made the connection to Ukraine. So the connection with Ukraine is an interesting one. Look, Ukraine hasn't always been called Ukraine.
Okay.
And so if you look at the ancient maps, and again, how ancient is a matter of open to debate, but certainly back to maybe the 12th or 13th century, I think. And you look at the maps there, and the region that was Ukraine, and it's an identical region, it was called Khazaria.
Okay.
K-8-A-Z-Z-A-R-I-A. And some people say, oh no, that's Kazakhstan is where the Khazars, you know, that's their homeland. Because, I mean, Stan is obviously like a country or land. It's the word for land. That's why a lot of countries are called Stan, you know, Pakistan, because it's Paki country. So Kazakhstan is part of Kazakh country, but Kazakhstan isn't where the Khazars used to live. The Khazars were what is now called Ukraine, and they deliberately kept it as it was. Because the Khazaria was the Yiddish homeland.
Yeah.
Yiddish is, for those who don't know, is another word for unorthodox, although they have their own style of orthodoxy, unorthodox Ashkenazi Jews. So Judaism is split up into two groups. There's one, the Sephardic Jews, the other is the Ashkenazi, and there are also other, I mean, you can go, if you go into it in detail, you've got all, you're like mountain Jews, you've got 100 different sects or different tribes or whatever you want to call it. But the in terms of base population, about 5% of modern day Jews, they claim, are Sephardic, and then 95% are Ashkenazi. And the Ashkenazi were Gentiles or Gentile population groups that then joined the Jewish sect and were recognized as proto-Jews. So essentially, these Ashkenazi Jews aren't Jews at all.
Yeah, I think I've read that in your articles before. They're like Yeah, their goal is to continue taking over the world.
Well, I don't think you can put you can't put a voice into anyone's mouth. There are some very good Ashkenazi Jews that might actually empathize with me and agree with me and might even say what I say. And there are some very bad ones though as well. So I think it depends on the individual. But certainly the bad ones might well do that.
Mm. What about the good ones?
Well, the good ones do fight the fight. There are some very outspoken Jewish people. And fair play to them.
Mm.
I tend to find though a lot of people are not just the Jews, but a lot of people are biased and a little corrupt. And I do find the Jews, even the most outspoken free thinkers, sometimes. Have been culturalized and can't see the good from the bad because of the culturalization. But one of the people I'm very impressed with, which I'd like to just mention, I don't think he's Jewish, he's actually Australian, and he's actually living in Russia. There's a guy called Scotty Z. Actually, there's about four guys called Scotty Z, but there's only one of them, I think, that's living in Russia, who's an Australian. And he makes a lot of sense. It's one of the few. I very rarely, I'm inclined to drop names other than myself, because I find most other people don't get it. Whereas Scotty Z actually has his hand on the pulse. So I do recommend, and he has somehow, even though apparently he's not on YouTube, he has found a way to YouTube. So he does have a few small presentations there, but I do find his worldview refreshing. And one of the things that Scotty says, and obviously the key here is Russia, is Ukraine, is Khazaria. And that's why Israel has been jumping up and down. And that's why we can see so much dirty politics around it. But there is another side, of course, as well. And we look at, obviously, what's been going on in the region in general in terms of the politics around Russia and Ukraine. Just the day-to-day affairs. And from that perspective, I find Scotty Z very refreshing with some of his opinions. And dare I say, I think just about all his opinions are accurate. Obviously, they could be expanded, but I think he's pretty much on the money with what he's been saying. And one of his key things is that the Russians are suffering. The Russians, Putin never wanted the conflict with Ukraine, but he'd been pushed by the West into a position where he had to say enough is enough. And there are a number of simmering elements which, I guess, highlight the truth. And one of the big things is Ukraine has its a makeshift private army stroke police force, and I can't remember the name, but it's given some sort of Nazi title, and they're known as the Nazis or neo-Nazis, and it runs, and it has an insignia which is very similar to the German Nazis. And so if you look at the history of the region, there was an uprising in 2014 against the then president. Were you aware of this? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, good. So there was an uprising in Ukraine in 2014 against the then president, of which it was all over Donbass region.
Okay, yeah, you remember that.
So this is where Crimea broke away from Ukraine because they'd had enough.
Yeah.
And so over the last 20 years, there's been a hostility between eastern and western Ukraine. And this is for good reason. So anyway, this uprising, which did oust the president, or oust America, because America was backing the president, the neo-Nazis were very much present. And they do have a reputation for young soldiers, and I've heard from one very good source actually in Australia that they employ kids from anything from the age of 8. So this is the sort of game we're playing. It's very nasty stuff. So they basically arm, you know, children, and these are being on the front line. Amongst other tactics. Reputedly, 15,000 civilians were killed in the 2014 coup, or the 2014 uprising in Ukraine. And I've heard that over the last 20 years, millions have been killed. I don't know if that's true. But obviously there has been bloodshed and hostilities for a significant amount of time. But the intrigue goes even deeper and goes back much further. It goes back, the Jews whine about Hodor Maior, I think it's called, which was an atrocity under Stalin, where Stalin apparently stole all the grain from the Ukrainians, from the Ukrainian farmers, and they all starved. And this happened back in the 1930s. Now, again, whether that's true or not is questionable. But we know that Stalin, it was at the time when Stalin was purging the Jews, actually in Russia. So he'd moved away from, he'd done all the Coptic Christians. We didn't hear a peep from the West about them. They weren't worried about the mock trials of the Christians. It was only when the Jews were being put up by Stalin that suddenly they started jumping up and down and going in there and trying to film the events themselves. So it was about that time, in the 30s, that Stalin moved away from, as I say, from the Slavs and moved after the Jews as well. And I think that was partly to do with politics involved with Trotsky, because Trotsky had a massive fallout with Stalin and obviously ended up getting killed by Russian assassins in America. I think that was in the 40s. Might be wrong. I can't remember when Trotsky was killed, but he was assassinated. by a Russian infiltrator.
Hmm.
And so we've got this sort of legacy starting in the 1930s till today. So we're talking about, what, 90-year legacy, 80-90-year legacy, where what happened was that, particularly under Khrushchev, so this is in the 50s, there was an influx of Russians into eastern Ukraine to build up and to man the industry there. Now, one of the problems is, of course, where there's industry, there's lots of money. So traditionally, eastern Ukraine, which is where Donbass is and where the Crimea is where the money is. Crimea, of course, we know has oil or gas. The western Ukraine is pastoral land, it's agricultural, so there's not much money. And that's where the Ukrainians are. But there's been an anti-Russian sort of policy in terms of on work. So it's Ukrainians come first under this Ukrainian national pride for about 80 years. And, of course, that's boiled over. That's created a lot of problems in Ukraine for Russian-speaking or Russian heritage people who say, why the hell are we being victimized against, and our Western medias haven't mentioned, there's not been a peep about that in the Western medias. So of course all the hostilities with the civilians killed, well, it'll be Russian speaking civilians by Ukrainian patriots. So that's how the politics lie. It's a lot more complex, or actually it's quite simple, than most people realize. So if we look at actually what's been happening, and Scott Z said it, says it so well. I'll put it out there to you. Do you know who's got the biggest ballistic missile supply on the planet? In terms of stockpile. Which country? Tim. Are you still with me? Well, I presume you're still, you've gone for a smoker or you've gone for some kind of break. So you see, you left me hanging here, but, we don't obviously know which country has the biggest, supply of ballistic missiles because, it's not something that's ever publicized. Countries may make claims, but we don't actually know. However, some theorize that it's Russia. Others theorize it's Iran. And obviously, NATO, with its enormous budget, has an enormous amount of weaponry as well. But they're very heavily invested. It's funny that all the talk about nuclear, NATO is very, very heavily invested in nuclear. and that kind of technology. So if Russia wanted to, it could flatten Kiev. Really wanted to make an example of the Ukraine. Ukraine would no longer exist. But it doesn't. And in fact, Putin has made it very, very clear that only agitators should be taken out, no civilian or as limited civilian casualties as possible. Are you there? I could deal with some, some questions. Oh, you're obviously still, on your travels. So, where were we? We were talking about the weapons. So, of course, Putin has shown that he's prepared to be as noble as he can in his handling of the situation. That isn't to say that there isn't going to be or hasn't been a loss of life, but his orders are very simple that casualty is going to be limited to those who are aggressors against the Russian position. It's very, very clear. And, we've seen a very childlike, unfair, dishonest response in the Western media, notably under the Snake Island incident where all the Ukrainian makeshift troops apparently were going to fight until the last man. When they were herded into buses by the Russians, after being defeated, they were herded into buses by the Russians on the way to their military camps for internment. I'll just go and check and see whether you're back yet, Tim. Obviously not. So obviously it's a fairly desperate situation in Ukraine, but it's probably as desperate for Russia as it is for Ukraine. And obviously we're already seeing the price that comes in war circumstances. Again, I mentioned before about MSN and how it's been stoking the pot and how everybody or a lot of people have sided with Ukraine without having any understanding of the situation. And they've not sided with other peoples who've gone through miserable experiences in past ventures or past exercises that have been the fall of the West, for instance. So there's been no sympathy towards the displaced Syrians. There's been zero sympathy towards the displaced Iraqis or Afghanis or any of the supposedly valid conflicts that the Westers engaged in. This is all, you know, part and parcel of life. But of course, people have now taken it one stage further, where it's okay for somebody in the West now no longer to imply a Russian. Somebody who might not have lived in Russia for 20 years. Somebody who possibly speaks almost no Russian. And that it's okay to sack them on the grounds that there is some superficial connection between what's going on, even though there isn't actually any connection with what's going on, and their status in the West. Obviously, this is reprehensible. Are you back yet, Tim? No? I'm trying to raise you. I don't know, it's like trying to raise the dead. So, what we're obviously seeing is that Ukraine, in fact, has now become an excuse, very similar to coronavirus, to poison the minds of anybody who is gullible enough, and anybody who responsibly listens to the mainstream media is gullible enough.
Yeah, and they make a huge target network too.
You've been gone for quite a long time. I've been trying to raise you. But you'd, I was faced with silence.
I apologize.
So, I was just talking about, but obviously the people of Russia are now suffering as a consequence. So we've got this huge heartfelt outpouring towards Ukrainians, but in fact it's the Russians are the ones that are suffering under the burden of sanctions. The latest thing that happened was IKEA in Russia closed their stores without notice. Sorry, with one day's notice.
Yeah, that's really difficult. It's very difficult to do.
So they gave one day's notice and then no more IKEA. They don't open at all. Now, what happens where your main stores like Walmart or where you get your food that does that.
That would be terrible.
But it's okay, you see. Now, of course, Russia's done, in a sense, I think, has done the same thing in itself, in its actions towards the West. So one of the things that happened is, I think, that Russia cut off the gas supply to the UK, and that caused considerable problems for the UK. So both have been playing the sanctions game.
Which is only going to screw things up worse.
Correct. So the other thing that's obviously been happening that maybe people aren't aware of is that obviously these Nazi guys who have an extraordinarily bad reputation. These Nazi guys that appear to be running the show in Ukraine, they're a sort of proto-police, as I say, military force that have authority over the police, the legitimate police in Ukraine. They're doing things like hiding in schools, in private buildings, in hospitals, so they're essentially using human shields to do what they do.
Yeah.
So Putin's apparently given the order to his troops only kill, obviously those that are the saboteurs, but it becomes very difficult when your saboteurs disguise themselves as, and again, the other problem I highlighted earlier, that, you've got a 12-year-old boy. Is that a civilian or is he a military man? You give him a gun, one presumes he's a military man because he can still kill you.
Yeah. That's true.
So we're looking at a very dirty war, or very dirty hostility.
Yeah.
So the point I was mentioned before, which you might have missed, and I'm not sure if I actually ended up making it because I was trying to raise the dead earlier, was that according to certain philosophy, Russia has the biggest ballistic missile supply on the planet.
Hmm.
If that is true, then they could literally bomb Kiev to the point that nothing survived. As Kiev is Ukraine's capital city, by the way, for those that are unaware.
Yes, I'm aware.
So Putin hasn't done that. Putin's gone in with kid gloves. Now here's where it starts to get interesting and something that Scotty Z missed. So I built in the profile and I said, well, there's this connection with Israel. We've got Caesarea. And we've got the connection with Israel. We've got the vaccines, which aren't vaccines. They're actually genetic modification compounds.
And then about.
And we've got the idea that Ukraine is an excuse. Coronavirus episode is now gone. We need a new thing to focus on. But this is something else too. I mentioned in my article about, or I have mentioned in my articles, I've written 5 about coronavirus, that coronavirus actually is World War III. But it's a war that we've never experienced before. It's a war where we've got authority versus the people. And I said in my 5th article that they would need a scapegoat. They'd actually need a real war, a real World War III, so people, the dummies, because people don't realise, so the dummies would realise what's going on, that we're actually in World War III, because the coronavirus itself is miles too subtle. People are too dumb.
Hey, we're coming up on a break now.
That's a good point to pause, and we can, yes.
Yeah. So, we'll be back after a few minutes.
No worries.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B.
Steve, welcome back.
www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio.
we're going to get some finer points here, but what used to
check
be,
it out.
Zarya music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we finished off by basically talking about there's been a sort of dual theme of coronavirus, and this is phase two, I think, of the same men.
So join me at Revolution Radio Studio B at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association
on.
When we take a look at
basically stated
philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics.
It's a subtle world war, which is government versus the people.
It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B.
Yeah.
At freedomslips.com.
It was like the world was treated like a giant concentration camp.
I am Bill Johnson.
That's why the
some
lockdowns.
Consider my efforts to be an underground law school.
No, but
I am
our farm.
An attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal.
Obviously, you people are not very bright.
You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Being very bright. So that was it's a little too subtle for them. And I did say in my last article that it need to be a real event, which would turn it into World War III. So it means, I can see what's going on there.
Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts.
About bad, they've broke to China, so we've got China, Russia,
you will be
to
held
get
in
their own partnership.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocopic Marzal veins, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in tanandermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Russia, aside from all the bullshit and all the talk, had the best army in the world at the time. So why did the Russian, when they entered in World War One, why did their generals not give the men, their troops, any ammo? So you know, of course, that's what happened. They were given guns with bayonets, but no bullets.
That's terrible.
But even with that, they still managed to overpower some of the Germans. There were stories about they managed to break through and cause some havoc with the Germans. That's how good the Russians were. But obviously, they weren't that good. They were there. If you're not given any ammo. And they also, the Russian generals, refused to employ their infantry. And it was one of the most valuable infantry reserve of the planet at the time. So clearly, it seems to me, I drew this conclusion, that they were in on the game. That the leaders of the Russian military were very high-ranking Jews, as would be expected, who were basically said, "No, we're gonna rig it to make sure that history happens in the right way." Because, of course, without an army, with all the key guys killed, that's what the Germans did, they killed all the Russian cream, there was no defence against the American attack under the guise of Bolshevism.
What drives me nuts is, like, oh, in all these wars, like, nobody sits back and goes, "Hey, do we really want to be doing this at all?" Like,
yes, but like, even further than that, you've got to look at the politics behind the politics. So obviously, when you look at the politics of the First World War, things start not to add up.
Yeah.
You say, well, why did that happen? And why did that happen? And the more you look at it, you realise that it was all a fix. There was a fixing. And notably with that the Russian element. Germany was deliberately, they sucked the gold deliberately out of Germany. That was one thing that happened. But they didn't just suck the gold out of Germany. They went and stole all the land off the aristocrats as well. So you've got to look at the big picture.
Yeah. And zoom out.
So obviously, you know, the First World War is rigged, and then we have this coronavirus coming in on literally the centenary of the fall of Russia. And I'd always said that it would be something big happens because they work on 100-year cycles. And that was the big thing that was going to happen, that they felt confident enough to conquer the world. So they were going to start World War III in 2017. It's just nobody figured what it was. And I needed a few years just to get the infrastructure right and get all the planning in place because it was a big exercise. And so, sure enough, in 2020, it all started. Lights, camera, action.
And now?
So the Russians have pretty much had the reputation of being the best military trainers for a very long time. And there's some evidence of that. And we can see that when Brezhnev came into power, the terrible Russian leader Brezhnev, there was a massive exodus of Jews back into Russia because his five-year plan made living very, very comfy for Jews. But that wasn't the only reason. The Jews go through a military, so they go through conscription. And they imported just about all the Israel Defense Force, was imported from Russia.
Oh, really?
Because they give the best military training, so that's why they shifted over there.
Okay.
So you can imagine that Ukraine isn't a very good idea.
Yeah.
Because when you cut the bullshit, you realize you're actually not just up against this military might, as in technology might, or arsenal weaponry. You've got the most skilled on the planet going into Ukraine. The most skilled soldiers. The very best at their job. And in that regard, Putin's stance is rather odd. Because Putin is...
Oh, I was going to say, it's going to make Ukraine really tough for him to win in.
Right. Because Putin's gone in with kid gloves and said, look, you can't do too much, guys. Just take out the infiltrators. Well, they're all going to say, well, how do we do that? You're trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
So it seems to me as though that Putin is actually part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
And if you look at Russia's history with the bizarre legislation that's been produced by Israel, and some of it's really horrific, Russia's adopted all of it, without question. You want freedom, don't go to Russia.
Yeah, don't go at all.
All the zany legislation, including now if you decided to write and question the Holocaust, as is the series of events led by Israel, there's jail for you. That's a jailable penalty, and that's included in Russia's gamut of laws. Now, of course, I personally am not a believer in the Holocaust. I think it's a pile of bullshit. I do take the view that the tattoos were correct. I think that the Jews were put into a special internment camp. They were tattooed. They did not have a very nice time, but I think they were actually rather more privileged than a lot of other internees who weren't Jewish.
Didn't they take out a lot of Serbs,
Right, they did.
I heard also during World War II that there was a Vatican army and that they did a lot of terrible things.
Well, actually, the worst treated of all the prisoners of war, contrary to the TV view, were the Germans. The German file, the soldiers, were treated worse than animals.
Yeah, I heard that the West, General Eisenhower ordered it, and he basically took all the German soldiers that they rounded up and had surrendered and put them in internment camps where they couldn't, or they weren't allowed to eat, very little water,
correct,
very little food, correct, starved them, and they treated them terribly. That's absolutely horrible, and the Americans were doing it, like.
Yes. They basically starved them. They were given the worst treatment of all. The flying, the Luftwaffe, which you see on all the movies, yeah, they were treated very well, but they were the aristocracy. The aristocracy went into the Luftwaffe, the same as the RAF. The RAF, you know, the flying men were looked after very well by Germany because it was all, the deal was done. It was all rigged. World wars were rigged.
Yes. We're gearing up for another one now.
And so this one's been rigged as well. So what I see is that Putin is going into very gingerly into Ukraine, not doing a great deal at all. And the tiniest thing is appearing in the media that they're talking about individual buildings. What? It's meant to be an invasion. They're actually discussing, oh, some building got set on fire. Of course some bloody building got set on fire. This is an invasion. So Putin is doing very little. And then you have to ask the question, well, taking that version of the ancient maps, Zarya. And obviously the situation hasn't worked in terms of the population divides because they've had problems for 80 years. Why haven't they done anything about it? Why hasn't somebody done anything about it?
Well, they're doing something about it now. But yeah, it's a good
They point. Haven't, but they haven't done anything about it now either. There was a treaty made called the Minsk Treaty, which was meant to have allayed hostilities, but it didn't.
Mm.
And so essentially what happened was that the Ukrainians attacked Donbass with their rockets, and then, which is obviously Donbass is a Russian speaking, that's the Russian controlled region. And so Putin said, that's it. Time to go in with the troops. That's the signal.
Yeah.
You've made a mockery of Russian sovereignty. And there's been obviously a subplot going on where we've got the Ukrainian presidents talking to NATO and talking about maybe housing NATO missiles, and Putin has sort of jumped up and down about that as well, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
So, that's the politics.
How far do you think it'll go? Like, how long?
I think it will go into a nuclear war. And I don't think it will be Russians who cause the nuclear. I think it will be NATO. Because NATO has the big arsenal and NATO wants to use it.
I think that sounds like a terrible idea.
And also, they've been talking about this breakdown. They're going to employ hackers. It's not Russians, it's the West. The West will employ hackers and they're going to target the banking system. So I think you could see some really nasty things happening with finances. People could lose their savings, although it's debatable.
Oh, boy.
Because they've never done that before. The banks have always honoured. So if there's been a big hack, banks have said, all right, we'll just take that in the on the chin. At some point, they're gonna behave treacherously and say, oh, no, we can't take that anymore. Anybody who's lost any money here, I'm sorry, you've lost your savings.
I hope not. That would make a really bored day for a lot of people.
It will. But I think one of the things they're going to do is they will draft in crypto. Because they've been waiting for this opportunity. And interestingly, the only cryptocurrency, in my opinion, worth investing in is owned by a company called Ripple. It's called XRP. XRP, I think, have just won the lawsuit against the SEC. So the timing is very interesting. And plus, with Britain saying it's on the, with Boris Karloff, I call him Boris Karloff because he's an absolute son of a bitch. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Britain, saying we're on the verge of bankruptcy, it gives them the excuse, even though the Bank of England has been absolutely vehemently against crypto and basically calls it funny money, they'll draft in crypto.
Mm.
But what you will see is the collapse of Bitcoin. The Bitcoin value will plummet and the XRP value will absolutely rise through the roof.
XRP as in,
It's not something that many people know of. So the fortunate few who's got a little bit of it will make a lot of money. I am one of the fortunate few. I don't have a lot, but I've got enough. And what's going to happen will make me rich.
About XRP, the thing.
Yeah, it's yes. And the reason XRP is going to become the stable currency is it will underwrite the. So we've got at the moment we've got SWIFT, which is a very archaic means of transferring money, and it will underwrite the transfer process. So essentially, banking transactions will be able to run, foreign exchange transactions can run real time. So it will take 1 second to do a foreign exchange transaction, whereas it now takes anything up to 3 days.
Okay.
But that's not the reason they're bringing in cryptocurrency, of course. They're bringing in cryptocurrency is because they want to track all money.
Yeah.
So money becomes no longer anonymous. There will be means. They'll create these special cards which are said to be unidentifiable, so which will act as currency. But like the standard, you know, anonymous currency. But again, it's going to get much harder to get anonymous. And there'll be questions asked. So if you go in and say, well, why are you using that? Not sure we really want to take that. We don't know where it's been.
Hmm. Yeah, but it shouldn't matter where it's been.
It shouldn't do.
It shouldn't. Like, they shouldn't be doing this. Like,
but they have control
of the world enough as it is?
People shouldn't be anti-Russian, but they are. Because they've been told to be, and so they'll be told to be anti this funny money. Because you'll see a huge campaign, mainstream media campaign, to justify something that is unjustifiable.
I really don't like how the elite run this world. I'm very much opposed to it.
Well, I don't think too many people who think are in favour of the elites and how they run the world. The question is whether you can mind your own business and still have a happy life. And I think as time goes on, I think there's less and less opportunity for that.
Yeah.
But the elite measures are seeping into everyday life by the minute. You know, there's... Yeah. And that's the problem. I saw a cartoon recently which summed it up, and there was a guy on the ground who was beaten and bruised and his freedom banner had been trampled in on the ground. And just behind him, who after doing all the trampling, was this great big burly policeman. And above him was the sign democracy. So what we've got are basically thugs employed on behalf of democracy, in inverted commas, who are really just essentially tyrannists in another name.
Yeah.
There to shut down any freedoms.
I mean, we just keep watching it every day. Like the way that the rules are changing and the way that they're trying to enforce them and the way that they're trying to surveil us to find out if anybody actually cares about their stupid laws. I mean,
I was very heartened by what the thing that happened in Canada, and I don't believe, I think this really was a backfire. So the police, obviously, they had all the truckers, the convoy, and this was now, had made the mainstream. So we've got this freedom convoy, and I'm sure that the powers thought, right, we're going to shut this down dead, and that'll shut people up. So we'll get the police in, we'll get them to shut it down, and we're not going to hear a peep out of anybody after that. So what happened? They get the tow trucks in, and then the tow trucks join the convoy. Now, you don't get a better backfire than that. And what can the police do? They're stranded. So then it got very nasty. Then the president got up, and Trudeau, whatever his name is, got up and said, we're going to do special now. I'm going to use special executive powers.
That is not
so,
a good
so, it's so not much a... for freedom. So much yeah, for freedom that's... of speech and you know, the popular voice will always win. Not on your Nelly.
Now here's, they're trying to do that on purpose. They're trying to make it so that this stuff is what...
Well, actually, the protest is the same with the one in Australia, except these were cars all going down to Canberra. The convoy to Canberra, they're all a scapegoat, and they're being used by the powers as a scapegoat. They want the protest to happen. They want that. Because the only way they could collapse the system is what happened in the UK through the courts. So while there are lots of people protesting and doing nothing other than protesting, the equilibrium's perfect. They can philosophize and chastise in the media. You know, we've always got that armchair talk when they put words into the protesters' mouths.
Yeah.
Now, if all of those people, those million people in Canada, had not bothered to turn up and instead filed lawsuits against doctors and pharmacologists.
They'd
have shut the operation down in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Somebody should sue the government and their mandatory mask requirements. I mean, theoretically, you should be able to do that. You should be able to sue them and say, hey, you can't do this. Like,
well... Though it actually did happen in Canada. There was a Canadian that had been fined for not wearing a mask, for breaking his mandate. So he refused to pay the fine or wear the mask. And his argument when he defended himself in the law is there's no proof. If you can prove to show me the mask will stop the virus, I will wear the mask. And they couldn't prove. So they just dropped the whole thing.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me one little bit.
I can't remember the fellow's name. He was a brave and a strong man, and he succeeded. There is a guy in the US who is fighting a good fight, of course. I'm still very much passionate about coronavirus, because I do think it's instrumentally key to what's been happening in Ukraine. But there's a doctor called Dr. Robert Malone.
Okay.
And the shit is about literally to hit the fan. So it's been well known that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is a corrupt organization, certainly with some of the reports that have come out over the last, 20 or 30 years that are clearly fudged, that aren't responsible. But that it's still been regarded as it's like the Bible of data. So if you want data, you want to get a true data snapshot of what's going on in the healthcare world, that is the place to go to. Except that's all changed now, according to Malone. They treat data as marketing material.
Yeah.
And they started suppressing data from the CDC. And initially the CDC didn't admit it, and then they were taken to court through Freedom of Information, and they were forced to produce a bunch of data that they'd withheld, which completely gave an entirely different picture on coronavirus and the effects of vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. So at the moment, they're on the slippery slide because the shit is about to hit the fan, because also a number of key doctors that have obviously been aligned to the CDC, they've jumped ship because it's just got all too much. They've taken it a step too far. You know, there's a point where you can say, well, you know, a white lie isn't going to hurt, you know, because they're well-meaning, you know, that's a bit crooked in the way they're saying that, but I can see why they're saying it, you know, because if you add everything up, actually, you're probably getting a fair appraisal. But they've realised that we've moved away from white lies now. We're just seeing just pure dishonesty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're very dishonest about a lot of things, though, and they've been doing that for many, many years. Every time something comes out, they say, oh, well, it's not so bad, we've just been lying to you. Like, better don't say anything about it, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to talk about how, like, corrupt the whole system is, like, on every level, everywhere. It's so corrupt. It's like,
well, obviously, there's been a pulse that is behind the scenes in the court system, and the court system has a very, very different, is a very, very different window to look at. So there have been lots of lawsuits and lots of court cases, including ex-members of these bodies that have gone to court against the body. And so you have to look at the entire tapestry, and the media, obviously, the mainstream media, it's not in their interest to show that, so they don't. They don't show what's dubbed as Nuremberg 2 in Europe, because that goes against their agenda. And so to go back into Ukraine, we've obviously been talking, we've heard about the agendas as in money laundering, that Ukraine has been generally regarded over the certainly recent times as a very corrupt place. We know about Biden's son, Hunter, who got given a number of contracts. We know about Senator McCain's son, one of his family members, who got given some lucrative contracts in Ukraine.
Yep.
So America, we know, has been, or Jewish America, let's be clear on this, Jewish America has been laundering money through Ukraine. There's a nice little opportunity going there where everybody wins. It's a win-win situation. Well, it would be dishonest not to include Russia in that loop, because Russia has its own money laundering in operations in Ukraine. So it's a nice cushy business for Russia as well. They've got their multi-billionaires.
Yeah.
We have recently the Abramov. Abrahams. He's a Jewish. He's a he's a Jewish tycoon. He's one of the richest Russians on the planet. The police have apparently impounded his yacht. Whoop-de-do.
Yeah. They said they're going to do that with all the rich Russians that they could find.
Yes.
Funny how they're just going to take your property just because your government does something that they don't like.
So he's going to spend his time somewhere else rather than on the yachts.
Yeah, really.
Or maybe he's going to use one of his other yachts. So at the end of the day, it's a case of it's a nice media splash, but at the end of the day, they've achieved nothing. Because everything will go back to whoever owns it after everything's died down. And the billionaires know that. And they've got all the options. So, is there anything?
Well, I was going to say, they made so much money off coronavirus. I mean, they knew it was coming. They had all this stuff. They made billions upon billions of dollars because of this. And
trillions.
Well, yeah, I know. But, I mean, we're just talking about them. Yeah, I mean, trillions of dollars. And nothing good came of it. Like, all it was just more control and more control and more control.
And just to highlight the amount of money involved. So, again, we're talking about Ukraine, but coronavirus is vitally important. You've got to understand what's going on here. Remember, we've just had a quarantine situation, which is really just a concentration camp, open concentration camp situation. And we're still in there. It's still not over. The legacy is still there, and we're now moving into World War III.
Yeah.
So it's really just an extension of what's going on. What we were talking about before, you were talking about the... I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, no, we were talking about the billionaires. You were saying to get an idea about how much money they then you finish.
Ah, yes. So, just to put perspective on things, there is a fund, they created a fund in Europe against the ravages of coronavirus. So they have this sort of, they call it a response fund. Now, how do we respond to coronavirus? 14 trillion euros.
That's ridiculous.
And such countries as Afghanistan, the Taliban were drawing money from that. They're coronavirus dead. And if you believe that, you believe pigs will fly. In the US, and this is where the system failed. This is really where the US system failed. In the US, there was $48,000 for every verified coronavirus death in the hospital system. So you've got somebody who comes in dead from a car crash into the hospital system, or he's on his last legs. They actually bring him into the hospital system, and he dies in hospital. So he's not dead yet, but he dies in hospital.
Yeah.
And they go and test the guy for coronavirus, and it turns out he tests positive for coronavirus. What did he die? Did he just die of injuries sustained from the car crash, or did he die of coronavirus?
Yeah.
He died of coronavirus, of course, so he could get the $48,000.
Yeah.
So you can see, did they die of a heart attack? No, he died of coronavirus.
Yeah.
You can see how the figures were manipulated out of all proportion. And they made, to make matters worse, of course, what happens in the hospital? When you go into hospital, you're usually very sick, so your immune system is knackered. So the chances are you're going to be very susceptible to viruses such as coronavirus. So, of course, what you saw is coronavirus would pass through like waves, and they'd go through and everybody would get it because they were very sick and they had nothing to protect themselves against it. So they just had an army of statistics in waiting. So they could claim their $48,000 ahead. And they'd already tested that corruption before, because of course the guys behind coronavirus are the same guys behind HIV. Notably, one Anthony Fauci. And they tested it. They hadn't tested it in the West because the Western doctors were too strong at that time. And a lot of them didn't believe the hype behind HIV. But in lesser countries, in the third world countries, where the IMF has a lot of presence, the IMF rolled out special grants against, you know, the spread of AIDS. So any new corpse that had a death certificate written, you know, basically saying the person had died from AIDS, received funding. So what do you think happened? In places like Zimbabwe, everybody died of AIDS in order to get maximum, you know, because they were absolutely super impoverished. And so they'd already tested it very successfully in the third world countries. So, of course, they knew damn well that the hospital system was just as corrupt here as it was elsewhere. And there would be either little or no integrity applied to deaths. They would just try and jump on and claim as much as they bloody well could. Because it's free money. Do you have any other questions?
Trying to think about any. We've got a good 5 minutes.
We've got to cover a lot of ground.
Yes, we did. We've got about 5 minutes left, I think. How would you want to wrap up the show for our listeners? Any particular points you wanna hit home before the show's over?
Well, I think we can just summarize and say that, you know, yes, Russians have an agenda. Putin has an agenda, but that's not been shown off at all by MSN. So you can't look at the propaganda served by the West to see what the Russian agenda is.
Yeah.
We obviously know that there is a Western agenda. Notably, NATO wants to use its nuclear weapons. It's been absolutely itching for an excuse to go nuclear. And this is it. Thirdly, that Ukraine is actually all about Khazaria and it's Israel's heritage. And Putin's actually playing the game. And that's why he's going in and he hasn't smashed it. He's treating it with kid gloves. Because they want to preserve the heritage. They don't want to damage the goods.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I was hoping Russia was kind of against them.
No, you just got to look at history to see what happened. So Putin's both good and a bad guy. I think there's a lot of Russians who are ignorant on that fact. As well as, obviously, Americans and the rest. And so I would, in terms of my sympathy, goes out to everybody who is innocent, who's been drawn into that situation.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with it.
And who
which is just about everybody.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So in a sense, if karma has its way, but if it does blow out, it will blow out everywhere. But suddenly it will become a very nasty world war, and there's going to be all sorts of shit that will happen all over the world as a result. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I do hear reports now of Al-Qaeda. What the hell they got to do with Ukraine? But they turned up in Mexico, so I suppose they can turn up anywhere. But apparently they're now in Ukraine as well. And we know, of course, Al-Qaeda, Al, by the way, is God. And Al-Qaeda was just the nickname the CIA gave to a group, a disparate group of not necessarily linked Islamic organizations. But it was a name that the CIA came up with.
That's very interesting. I did not know that.
So, but we know actually that Al-Qaeda is just a variant of the Mujahideen, and the Mujahideen was set up by Mossad. Mossad is one of the military arms of Israel. So where there's Al-Qaeda, you know that there's Israel. It's their way of doing war. They're just the most spineless, snakish people you could ever imagine. There's no honor whatsoever. Zero. To them, it's a game of chess. And they don't care who is harmed whatsoever, other than themselves.
It's not a good place to be. It's not very healthy.
No.
Not for the world or for the people who will feel that way.
Yes.
Not in the long run.
And the signs were there in the 40s, prior to the establishment of Israel, there were two terrorist organizations, one called the Stern Group, I think, and the other one was something like Ergun. It was actually something like that. And they killed one of the ambassadors to Palestine at the time. I can't remember his name. The Count to somebody or other. But their tactics were exactly like Al-Qaeda. They're just identical, the way they would, you know, these street bombs and just everything was identical, their maneuvers. And it's obvious to me that they're exactly the same organization. Different people, same clothes. So if anybody's feeling exceptionally brave and exceptionally rich, they can always vouch for a Skype session with me. I do one-on-one sessions.
He does amazing ones. It's definitely helped me keep my life somewhat in track.
I haven't done many. I just feel that the time is right, maybe to do some more at some point in the future. But I will be charting like a wounded bull.
Well, that's scary. Like a bull at the China shop. All right, we're down to the last. We're down to the last like minute or so.
And I obviously, if you wanted somebody to make a profound vision, then Tim, you're the guy to put it all down on canvas, I guess.
Yes, I am very good at that. I enjoy art too immensely. Just did a painting the other night. It turned out all right. That rhymed.
Yeah. Well, that's you're a good poet too, as well. So there you go.
I do have those moments. All right. Yes. Well, we're coming up on a break here, so we'll be back next week, perhaps. Thank you very much for joining me, Steve. It's been a great show.
Yes, it's been always a pleasure. And until the next episode, I'll be saving up plenty of things to say.
All right, then. Very good. You have yourself a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what cause.